Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on the 2 hours. Thank you so much for putting up with me. I really do love you people out there. And we always say, we don't do it just for you. We do it first and foremost for our family and our precious blood brothers, like two guys we got on the phone right now. Excuse me, on the mic right now. And without further ado, people, I'm just going to remind you one more time, this is Charlottesville Month. And we will talk about Charlottesville now the rest of the month. Primarily, the heaviest day is going to be next Saturday. Next Saturday will be the 6th anniversary. It falls on August the 12th this year. Six years ago, at the Battle of Charlottesville, that was August the 12th. Yes, sir, 2017. So we're going to do that all 3 hours next week. And Dr. Hill will be back, I think, the 19th to kind of close it out. But we'll have people on. Some people weren't there, but we're going to have them anyway, like Mark Tommy. Mark Tommy was in, I think, Pikeville, New Orleans. He had other things to do. We have the Bitter Ender here tonight. But anyway, people, just letting you know what's coming up next week. We've got these two guys, the dynamic duo. In my show notes, I put we got Nitro plus Glycerin. They did a fabulous show last week. The best part of the program was me not being able to get on because I would have just been in the way. And with that, without further ado, we're going to bring on the Bitter Ender. How are you doing tonight, Bitter Ender?
Oh, doing fine, Eddie, doing fine. Yeah, we kind of locked you in the bathroom. I know that's a dirty trick, but
I wonder who had that door.
Pay Lizzie $100 to let you out to close out the program there. So
she sure did. She sure did. And you know what? We gotta get a nickname for Mark. Maybe we call Mark the Rambling Wreck from Arkansas, since he's an old Arkansas Razorback engineer. How you doing tonight, Arkansas Razorback engineer?
I'm doing pretty good. You can call me the Rambling Rebel.
The Rambling Rebel from Arkansas. Thank God you hadn't been Arkansas yet. Arkansas, the suicide state. with the Clintons were up there. Well, anyway, I'm gonna get the hell out of y'all's way. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Haven't been Clintonized yet.
I tell you what, you don't want to be an FOB. An FOB, a friend of Bill's, one of the most dangerous damn things on the face of the earth, fella. Because I tell you what, I had a whole book, The Mysterious Death of Vince Foster. And to show you how cold-hearted those Clintons were, you know, in my understanding that Vince Foster was best friends with Bill all the way back to grammar school. I think over there in Arkadelphia, where they went to high school. But he had him zapped, man. Yes, sir. But anyway, go ahead.
Evil people. It doesn't matter whether you're friends or not. You know, my first boss years ago. His wife did a master's thesis on the mafia, and she said, you know, those people, the way they are, the guys who come to kill you today will be crying like babies at your funeral tomorrow. You know.
They sure do. I mean,
that's what they always said. Look who sent the biggest bouquet of flowers to the funeral, and they were the ones that had the guy snuffed out in the mafia and these hit jobs that they did. Yeah, and that's kind of like the government we have today, and it is. I mean, we've fallen into a third world banana republic country where, you know, the clowns in power use all of the judicial branch and their armed forces and their thugs and their gangsters and their mafia hitmen that give them fancy names like Homeland Security and FBI and all that. It's the mafia hitmen, and they go out and go after their enemies. And you know, they make all these movies glorifying the mafia and the crime families, like Goodfellas and The Godfather and all this stuff, and make heroes out of them. And then you turn right around and you've got the same type of criminals running our government. And maybe somewhere down the road, they're going to give an Academy Award for somebody playing Godfather Joe Biden, you know, and make him an offer he can't refuse, you know, something like that, you know. So
I've always thought Gene, that was.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Oh, Gene, one of the other things that I learned from my boss's wife, from her thesis, was that the difference between the mafia and the U.S. government is that at least the mafia has principles that they won't violate.
Yes,
you know, and in that
right.
regard, they are somewhat honorable and heroic because there are certain things that even they won't do.
Exactly.
But you can't put anything under the sun past these miscreants who own and control the U.S. empire. They will do anything. Anybody, the mafia would not traffic little girls and boys for sex, but the U.S. government will.
Oh yes,
you know
they're in the business bringing them across the border.
Absolutely. If I had to choose, I'd rather have the mafia running the country than the ones that are supposedly, you know, that are doing it right now. At least the mafia knows that there are certain limits that you have to adhere to and lines that you can't cross. And these evil bastards that are sitting up there on the Potomac banks of the Potomac River, they know no restraint. They will do anything to anybody for any reason.
To advance their power or enrich their pockets. You know, it's funny you brought that up about the code of the mafia. My dad went to art school in Chicago in the 1920s, and that was the big gangster era there. And in fact, one day he came home from the art school. He was staying in a boarding house, and most of the guys there were going to Northwestern Medical School. I think he was the only one that wasn't a medical student. And they were all fired up. They'd been had a big shootout over on North Clark Street that some of Al Capone's guys mowed down some of Bugs Moran's men. And they all went running over there to see it. Of course, the police had it all cordoned off. You couldn't go in there and see it. It was a St. Valentine's Day massacre. And I was asking Dad about that. I said, good night. Did you ever see any shootouts or anything? He said, no. I said, the gangsters took out each other. They wouldn't bother the civilians because they were their customers. And if the word got out that civilians were getting shot going to these speakeasies, they would lose the business and they people wouldn't go there. So they were very adamant about protecting the customers. And if they had a feud or something with I think Al Capone was on the south side of Chicago and Bugs Moran had the north side or vice versa. I've forgotten which way it went. But anyway, they'd take out each other, but they were very careful not to take out any just civilian customers because they didn't want to lose the business. So, you're right. That even back then they had a code, but the government today, they don't care. You know, they just stomp on anybody that gets in their way. They'd shoot a young lady that was standing outside the Capitol, posed no threat to anybody on January the 6th, gunned her down. And did anybody go to trial for that? Of course not. No. That's your example of what our government has fallen into or fallen down to.
Another example of that, and of course, you know, these are movies, and you know, to a certain extent, art imitates life. But one of my favorite mafia type movies is called The Professional. It's got the French actor Jean Reno, and he's a mafia hitman, and he's got a little apprentice that wants to learn how to be a hitman, and so he says, "Well, there are rules." And he said, first rule is no women, no kids. You know, you never kill women or kids. And so here again, it's just an example of the fact that there are certain rules that they abide by and won't transgress. But Gene, the other thing is that, you know, I've been on planet Earth for 63, almost 64 years now, and I've been paying pretty close attention to politics for around 45 of those years. And, you know, it never gets any better. And it doesn't matter which wing of the one party that runs the U.S. empire is in power. You know, the Democrats, I've always referred to them as communist heavy, and the Republicans are communist light. Neither one of them has ever neither one of them has ever met a plank of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto that they didn't like. The only thing they argue about with one another is to what extent those communist ideas will be implemented against folks like you and me and everybody out there listening to this program today. And so, you know, when those good conservative Republicans are in power, they never have done anything. They've never made the first step towards getting rid of the income tax, the IRS, the Federal Reserve, public schools, government control of transportation and communication, or any of the other things that are in the Communist Manifesto. They just say, oh, well, you know, these are good things. We just don't do them to the extent that the other guys do. And so as a student of history and somewhat of a literary guy, one of my books that's in my library is called Dante's Divine Comedy. And it's divided into the Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso. Well, in the Inferno, which is hell, Dante describes hell as being having different layers. And the further down you go in hell, the worse the punishments get. And so I always tell people that when the Democrats are in power like they are now, we're roasting in the seventh circle of hell. But when the Republicans get elected, we'll pop up to the circle.
Well, folks, we got to go to our first break of the third hour. We'll be right back with the dynamic duo Nitro and Glycerin as soon as we come back.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Here at Blood River Radio, we be going back to Amos Nanny now. No, wait, the Kingfish and they didn't left. We got the dynamic duo back in, Mr. Nitro and Glycerin. I think Mr. Nitro, a.k.a. the Bender Ender, is going to take off on kind of like what Dr. Hill talked about, a paradigm shift, a watershed moment, and August the 12th of 2017. Things on the August 11th were 1,000 times different than they were August the 13th. And so the Bitter Ender is going to take that away, and all I'm going to do is be bringing these guys in out of the brakes. I'm getting the hell out of their way because they don't need me. Go ahead, Bitter Ender.
No, I want to turn it back over to Mark. He was talking. We were talking during the break about what the solution was to this problem, and I'll let him explain that, and then we'll go back and start in on Charlottesville and what a watershed moment that was for me anyway. So, Mark, go ahead. Please, sir.
Okay, Gene. Well, yeah, to pick up where we left off at the break is that, you know, now that we've basically demonstrated beyond any reasonable doubt that the people who own and control the U.S. empire are corrupt to the core of their being, and that it makes no difference which faction of the one communist party that rules the country is in power, that nothing ever gets any better, nothing ever changes. You know, we may suffer a little bit less under one of them's rule than we do the other, but we still have all these onerous alphabet agencies making our life miserable. So, you know, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it till they put me in the ground, is that we of the South, the Southern people, have always been staunchly against communism, you know, more so than any other part of quote-unquote America. And you know, I said this last week, the U.S. empire loves everything we hate and hates everything we love. And so there's only one viable, sane solution to end the suffering of the Southern people under this evil regime that we call the United States of America, and that is secession and independence. The South and the Southern people need to create and have their own separate political, cultural, social, and economic existence apart from the rest of the United States of America.
Hear, hear.
We would run things very differently if we governed ourselves rather than being lorded and mastered over by people who hate us, who want us to disappear from the face of the earth, who hate our history, our culture, who tear down our statues, destroy, you know, burn our flags and all this other kind of stuff. I'm telling you, Mr. and Mrs. Southerner, you need to wake up and realize the rest of the U.S. will never consider you a good American or an equal American with them. You will always be the redheaded stepchild, the bastard child who needs to be watched and severely disciplined and restricted and all this other kind of stuff and not trusted. So if you want to continue to be a fourth and fifth class citizen and keep saluting their striped rag and singing their national song at the football games and supporting their troops and all this other nonsense, then you're going to end up being a slave and your children and your grandchildren are going to end up being slaves. Or you can give your loyalty back to your blood and your soil, and you can separate us from this evil empire, and we can at least have a chance to be peaceful, prosperous, and have freedom. Those are your choices. There's no gray area. It's black or white. You either choose slavery under the U.S. or you choose freedom in a new Southern, independent Southern Republic. End of argument. Okay, Gene.
Hear, hear.
No argument here. Let me play the devil's advocate, though. I hear a lot of people throw stuff out and say, well, you know, a lot of the crooks in Washington are from the South, and they were elected as conservatives, like Lindsey Graham and Spotted Al Gore and some of those people like that. And, you know, they're as bad as Chuck U. Schumer you know, some of these others that we have from New York and California and places like Pennsylvania. What's the guy that wears the hoodie in Pennsylvania? Doesn't know where he is. Anyway, I've heard that thrown at me. And I said, yes, but what they're doing, these people that are traitors, they are trying to pander to the national audience. And I'll say this about Spotted Al Gore. He wasn't that bad a representative when he represented Carthage, Tennessee, because he had to answer to people in those counties up there on the plateau in Tennessee. It's when he got stars in his eyes about running nationally that he started flipping over and adopting all of these liberal, goofball, progressive, idiotic nonsense that would promote him on the national stage. So you're right. If we did have our own independent nation, the people that represent us in the Confederate Congress or Southern Congress or Republic of the South, whatever they want to call it, or the SEC, I don't care, call it whatever you want to, as long as it's not USA, they would have to think about and represent the people in their local area. They don't need to worry about what people in New York or in D.C. or Michigan or California are thinking about them. They would have to toe the line and represent the people in their local area. So that, I think that argument that, well, we got crooks down here that are in Washington and crooks in our state house and some of our general assemblies, yeah, but if they don't have to pander to the national media and to the politicians in Washington, it would be a lot easier to hold them accountable for what they do. So I think that argument about – no, go ahead.
Yeah. Gene, the League of the South has an even better solution for that problem. And what our proposal is that once the South becomes free, and of course it will probably happen, you know, it should happen, will happen state by state. But what has to happen, what our proposed solution to this problem that you were just discussing is this. Every current federal and state office holder will be turned out on their ear, and new elections will be held throughout the South to elect new people to sit in our state legislatures, our governor's mansions, and then represent us in our Confederate Congress. Because we don't want any of those people who have been playing by the Yankees rules and playing their game for decades now. We don't want them to be any part of the new ruling regime. We want them gone.
Outstanding.
So,
yeah.
So because of the fact that they have turned traitor, they have become scalawags, and have abandoned the principles of our people, they will be turned out. They will not be allowed to hold office in an independent South. We'll have new elections. We'll curry comb the countryside, and we'll find good old boys and good old girls to stand and sit in and refill our state legislatures and our governor's houses with people who will truly represent the principles and the worldview of the Southern people. And these other people can just go and pound sand.
Well, I think I'd mess up that job, pounding sand. I don't think some of them can do that. So, anyway. No, that's
true.
You know, here's a point that you could do. No kidding. And the Confederate Constitution did this. The office of president, and I think there were some other political offices as well, and the office, the rank of brigadier general and above in the Confederate Army were provisional for 1 year. So Jefferson Davis's first year, he was provisional president of the Confederate States of America, and his term automatically ended after 1 year. So that way, if somebody didn't do a good job in politics, and you wouldn't have to impeach him, or if they didn't do a good job in the military, you could say, well, thank you very much, sir, but General, I think you'd be a lot better if you were head of the button-making factory in Dalton, Georgia, instead of commanding troops out on the field. And you wouldn't have to have a court-martial. Their term automatically expired after 1 year. So that's something we could look at. And then President Davis got reelected for a six-year term, is what the Confederate Constitution gave the president, because they said they looked at it, said, well, this clown spends his last 2 years in office campaigning for the next four. So we'll fix that. You get a six-year term, but you can only be president once. So, Bubba, you better get it right the first time, because you're never going to get a second chance. So there are a lot of things.
You're reading right from the League of the South playbook. You know, we've already got a new proposed constitution about halfway drafted, and one of the provisions we have in there is for recall of elected officials. For dereliction of duty or not doing their job right and that kind of thing. You don't have to wait for the next election cycle. There will be a provision in the Constitution that says that these people can be recalled. So here again, we're trying to put in more safeguards than what we have now to not allow these miscreants to hold office any longer than they just have to.
We've got to take a quick break, Mark. Be right back, folks. Hang on, folks. Be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Former President Trump's election case is now moving to the pretrial phase after he pleaded not guilty to felony charges.
Lawyers will be filing briefs leading up to the next hearing scheduled for August 28th, where a trial date is likely to be scheduled. Justice Department lawyers are pushing for the case to be tried quickly, while Trump's defense argues it could take years to review the government's evidence and gather their own. I'm Lisa Taylor.
A federal judge is giving former President Trump until Monday to respond to Special Counsel Jack Smith's protective order request. Smith's request, filed on Friday, was triggered by Trump's statement on Truth Social, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." This came after Trump's indictment on four counts related to alleged election interference. Smith's filing contended that Trump's public comments could negatively impact witnesses and the justice process's fairness. Russian officials and social media footage have confirmed that Ukrainian drones targeted a Russian tanker near Crimea in the Black Sea. This attack followed a previous strike on the same day by Ukraine on a major Russian port. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell appears to have removed any doubts that he'll be at the traditional Kentucky picnic today. McConnell attended a GOP breakfast this morning and received numerous standing ovations. He said at the breakfast, "This is my 28th fancy farm, and it's not my last." Concerns about the 81-year-old Kentucky senator's health arose earlier this week when he seemed to freeze in the middle of addressing reporters at the U.S. Capitol. A massive operation that authorities say made billions of spam calls has been hit with a major fine.
The largest robocall network that the United States has ever investigated is accused of calling over a half billion phone numbers during just 3 months in 2021, making more than 5 billion calls for auto warranty scams. The FCC has fined the operation a record $300 million for violating U.S. telecom laws. I'm Jeremy Scott.
This is USA News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. That's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRAVEL for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRAVEL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRAVEL for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to throw this idea out there. Y'all probably heard it say before. I think I did it in a speech back at the TPC family reunion back in 2014. I'm going to throw this out there to the bitter ender and to the rambling rebel here to talk about solutions. My solution is, we kind of base this, our new government, when we get an independent South, we kind of base it on the old county system like they did, I think, in England, probably after the Magna Carta, where we have a shire, which became a sheriff. Okay, we have a county level, which is the basic building block of government. We have a sheriff who's a new independent South constitutional sheriff, a district attorney, a grand jury, a sergeant of arms, a posse, and a militia. And then Mark mentioned this last week, we mentioned this before on Blood River Radio, and then we issue our arrest warrants, just like Charlottesville, it's like the communists in Charlottesville are issuing secret, out-of-state, fugitive arrest warrants. Well, guess what? We're going to issue arrest warrants for your asses up there, and we are coming to get you, and we're going to drag your sorry asses back to the South, and we're going to give you your trial, and then we're going to send you to the top of the stairs and say, "See the man in the black hood." Back to you, Mark.
Yeah, I like that idea myself, Eddie. And, to do a quick follow-up on what we were talking about there at the beginning of the break about throwing out all the current office holders and electing all new people. One of the other provisions that we've got written into our Constitution, Gene, is that there will be no more big salaries paid to elected officials. You will be given reimbursement for your expenses to travel to and from and stay at, during the session while the government meets, and that's all you're going to get. There won't be any more of these big salaries paid out and all kinds of benefits and everything else like they have now. That, we feel like, will better ensure that you will have people running for office who truly want to be public servants rather than self-aggrandizers, which is what we have now. And so yeah. So that's another part of the solution, Eddie. You know,
yes.
if people have solutions, all they got to do is come to the League of the South, and you'll hear about all kinds of solutions to all these problems. And one of the other.
Hey, how about the League of the South website, Matt, Mark? How about the League of the South? League of the South website. Let people know how they can get in touch with the League of the South. I'm a member of the league. Gene's league, your league, Dr. Hill's league, Rand's league. Also, one more thing before we go to that, and we also need to renounce the so-called Jew money system. We renounce our damn silver money system, just like Mark said. Our money.
Yeah.
Based will be, we could issue currency, but it's got to be, we have to have the amount of gold and silver in our bank vaults to back that currency. And that's just one other suggestion. But go ahead, Mark, if you will, tell us how these people can join us with the League of the South.
Yeah, the League's website address is very simple. It's www.leagueofthesouth, all one string of characters, .com. Now, I will say this, we're currently, doing a rebuild of our site, and so for the next week or so, it might be on again, off again for access to it while it's getting reconfigured and updated and made better. But that's where you go to find all of the position papers and policies that the league is proposing for a free South. And so just click on that, and you can spend as much time as you want browsing through all the different articles that we've written over the years and different position papers about one thing and another that we've written over the years. So we've got practical solutions to all these problems. You know, the imperial media and the popular American culture likes to portray we Southerners as a bunch of mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, Neanderthal, you know, rednecks, can't read, can't write, don't talk very well, and all this other kind of stuff. But we're really, you know, throughout American history, it's been Southerners who've led the way, and especially in the antebellum period. You think of the laundry list of the most notable founding fathers, they're all Southerners. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, you know, all these guys.
Yeah, Patrick,
the father of the Constitution, the father of the country, and, you know, all this guy. These are all Southern men. Andrew Jackson, you know, the list can go on and on and on. And so, you know, I've argued for a long time that far from being stupid and backwards and everything else, we are some of the most intelligent and resourceful and hardworking people on the face of the earth. And because of the imposed poverty that we've had to suffer under for a century and a half as a result of the northern invasion of our ancestors 160 years ago, we've had to learn to do more with less than any other people on the face of the earth. I mean, we can make something out of nothing because we've had to. So we're a very ingenious and resourceful people. And once we're free to make our own decisions about our political, economic, social, and cultural destiny, we're going to be just fine. And it's going to be the rest of America that you can watch go down in flames with all of their queers and transvestites and their transgenders and all these other kind of people. You know, they're the ones that are in trouble, not us. We're in trouble as long as we stay connected at the hip to them. As soon as we sever that connection and achieve our independence and start charting our own course again, then at that point the sky's the limit, you know. And this kind of gets leads me into the thing that you were talking about at the beginning there, Eddie, about defending ourselves. You know, that is a common objection that I hear to Southern independence when talking about it with the average Southerner out there who still likes to think of himself as a good American, is that we'd do fine defending ourselves. You know, the reality of the U.S. military is that about 60%+ of them are from the South anyway. We've always done the empire's fighting from the beginning. You know, the American Revolution would have been lost if it hadn't been for Southern boys mowing down British troops in South Carolina and North Carolina. So we've always carried the water for the Yankee Empire, and we'll do just fine defending ourselves. You know, our position, contrary to the U.S. empires, it would be one of what we call armed and vigilant neutrality. We would have the means to defend ourselves, but we wouldn't go around the world looking for dragons to slay.
Amen.
Like the U.S. empire does. We'll mind our own business. If somebody lands on our shores and threatens us that way, then buddy, get ready to get some. But we're not going to send our boys halfway around the world to fight for somebody else's independence or to control somebody else's resources like the U.S. empire does. And the other thing I've argued too, and I think I may have mentioned this last week, is that, you know, the South will very readily make allies with other countries around the world once we become independent. And if the U.S. empire tries to rattle its saber about invading us again, as I've argued many times over the years, how far-fetched would it be to see a headline like this? Southern states secede, U.S. threatens invasion, Russian fleet moves into Gulf of Mexico.
It's like they did in the civil yep. in the war between like they did during Lincoln's war.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all kinds of possibilities. You know, the U.S. regime has become the most hated regime on the face of the earth. Nobody around the world likes them. Even their so-called allies don't like them. So if they were to threaten a free South, which would be promising things like good diplomatic relations and free trade with the rest of the world, it's not that far-fetched that we would have allies who would come to our assistance if the U.S. tried to invade us again. So, again, you know, I think in a lot of ways the U.S. empire has become a paper tiger since World War II. You know, they're more talk than they are substance. And they very judiciously avoided ever going to war with anybody that had a real army, real navy, and a real air force since World War II. You know, they've always tried to fight what they thought were backwoods, people who were armed with nothing more than AK-47s and RPGs, and yet they come home with their tail tucked between their legs every time. So they're not as invincible as they try to paint themselves to be. And I think, you know, the evidence of history over the last 40, 50 years is proof of that. So, you know, and you can say, well, you know, like Vietnam, for example, you know, I've heard so many people say, well, they just didn't let our guys win that war. Well, you know, maybe so. But I still think, even though the politicians did to a certain degree restrain things, I still think the Vietnamese would have fought us until they bled us to death, and it would have wound up with the same result as it did anyway.
That's what General MacArthur said, never get in the war, in an Asian war. And with that, we've got to go to our last break. Be right back, folks. Go back to the bitter end when we come back. Be right back, folks.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, If those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we're going right back to the Bitter Ender, and he's going to fill up this last 13, 14 minutes. Go ahead, Bitter Ender.
Okay, I wanted to tie into something that Mark had said about the differences in what a free South and the axis of evil empire would be. And I think one thing that we haven't spoken about, but I think is extremely important, we would have the opportunity to have a Christian nation. That doesn't mean we would throw out people that have other beliefs. But basically, it would be a Christian nation. And you look at the difference in how the South embraced Christianity down through the years, and then what happened in the North. A lot of these utopian societies and these kind of nut groups that sprang up, very, very few of them, and I can't think of any really, very few of those came from the South. They were like in Seneca, New York, and places like that, that they believed that man could create a utopian society here on earth, while we believe that we're all sinners and we're only saved through the grace of God, through Jesus.
Amen.
And so that's the vast difference between Southern philosophy and Northern philosophy. I think Valerie Protopapas had that in her article in the Barnes Review, talking about the war. It wasn't just a war for Southern independence, or just wasn't just a war for Southern nationalism. It was a religious war, and they were two vastly different philosophies of religion, and that was one reason why Southerners and Northerners could never live together on the same continent, and never one group could never rule the other one without huge discontent from that other group. So that's another thing that I think we would be able to have in the South, and you wouldn't have the Supreme Court saying, well, you can't have a prayer every morning at school, and you can't have a nativity scene on the courthouse grounds, and you can't do this and can't do that and things like that. That just wouldn't happen in a free South.
Absolutely.
Going back to talking about, or Mark, add anything you want to on that,
I don't want to sound trite, but I was just going to say a big amen to everything you just said.
And another amen here. Amen.
Another example of the disaster that our government has become, and Eddie, you were talking about this, in Charlottesville, Virginia, on August the 12th, when we went up there with the sole intent of speaking up in defense of the statue of Robert E. Lee and Thomas Jackson, two Virginians in Virginia. And we actually had a permit to be there at Lee Park. We did it. We followed the law, or what we thought was going to be the law. And because there were a lot of conservative people there, they had to attack us. And I mean literally attack us. And the rotten government that we had in the town of Charlottesville and in the state of Virginia used their thugs and criminals in Antifa and BLM, Black Lives Don't Matter to Other Blacks, or whatever they call that thing, to physically attack us. And we had to fight our way for two blocks to get from the parking garage up Market Street and actually get to Lee Park. We came under attack before we ever got to Lee Park. And the police had put up temporary fencing around three sides of Lee Park. So once we got in there, we were trapped. And when we were getting ready to leave the parking area and walk up the street there, I saw all these National Guard people around and police, and all the police dressed up in I Want to Be a Soldier Boy uniform. They're camouflaged and all this stuff like that. Of course, they never heard a shot fired in anger in combat. They're badasses when they beat up on civilians, but not when they're going up against the NVA or anybody
right.
like that. So, you know, I thought, well, okay, the government's here. They had fences set up to separate the two groups because we went over there Friday night to see what it was going to be, and they had fences set up to keep the two groups away and an open space in the middle. I thought, well, yeah, the police will be in the middle, and we'll be over here, and Antifa will be shouting and hollering, doing all the stupid stuff they really do. That was not what happened on Saturday. They used the Antifa to go after us, and we had to go through a barrage of glass bottles filled with nails and screws and bags of feces and urine and being sprayed with pepper spray. And luckily we had a lot of ladies that were nurses that were using milk to try to get that pepper spray out of people's eyes and keeping them from choking on that. And that went on for an hour. And the police didn't do anything. They were standing there with their thumbs stuck up their rear end. And they were told not to do anything by that police chief and that rotten mayor of Charlottesville. And so that, to me, was one of the biggest eye-openers of how rotten and corrupt the government was. I always thought it was, but there I saw it it's like a combat zone. You have a whole different opinion of what war is like when you're in a combat zone, and you hear the whine of those bullets going past you, and it's not theory. It's the real deal. And to be there at Charlottesville was the real deal of seeing how rotten the government is, that they don't like somebody and they will go to any extreme to violate the Constitution, the First Amendment, a right to peaceably assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances. They threw that out because we were following the law and we got attacked. And then the only thing they did when they got their goon squad in action, that Governor Terry McAuliffe, who was part of the Clinton crime syndicate, after about an hour, he sent the announcement down that the Commonwealth of Virginia has declared a state of emergency and your permit has been revoked. You have 20 minutes to clear the area. Well, then the Highway Patrol put on their Darth Vader gear, their helmets and the shields, and literally pushed us out of Lee Park. And we had to jump down off of that 4-foot wall, and we were back out in Market Street again, under attack again. And now we had to fight our way back two or three blocks back up to the parking garage to get out of there. So this is what our government has done. And this was I think Mark said that was the Reichstag fire. That was their firing on Fort Sumter. That was their attack on Pearl Harbor against us. That was one of those turning points in history. And I saw firsthand how rotten the government could be and how vicious they could be to turn on people who were there to peaceably protest, but yet the government didn't like what they were going to say, and they made damn sure that our speakers were not allowed to speak and say what we wanted to when we got there. So you talk about a turning moment, a turning point in your life and in your opinion of the government. I think Charlottesville on August the 12th was definitely that turning point right there. Eddie, I don't know.
Yeah.
You were there too. You may have a different opinion, but that's what I took from that weekend that we were up there.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm like you, Gene. We've both been there and done that, across the water, so to speak. But I've never seen anything more intense than it was there. I figured it was going to be pretty tough when we got there, but I didn't think it was going to be anything at all like that.
No.
And you're totally right. The Antifa, anybody there could see right away that the Antifa and the government really wanted the same. And
yep.
I this may be kind of an aside,
but the brown shirts.
Yeah. When we went back to the parking garage, Gene, did you see, I know this is kind of an aside, talk about the RoboCops, the Star Wars cops. I've never seen just thick, like they had some kind of a special suits on. It almost looked like the catchers the guy who plays the catcher's little baseball team with these big, thick, almost like rugs on their belly. I mean, I there was much thicker than that. And they started coming up the garage toward us. I thought, oh, hell fire. We're trapped in this. Well, we're on the second, third floor of that garage, Gene. And I thought they're going to come up here and start beating the hell out of us. But thank God. It was getting pretty intense. But it turned. They turned around, thank God. And there's one other thing. I almost forgot it until we talked about last week's show. And I'm going to get off of this for a second. But there's a few things stood out in my mind. There was some Antifa guy coming up there all by himself. I guess he was drunk or something. Going to start some crap. And I was kind of been trying nice to him. I said, are you freaking crazy? You're coming up here with some guys that are going to tear your ass up, boy. And I guess he left. But my memory is still kind of foggy about that.
Yeah, I remember that. He was over there at the edge of that level we were on. Yeah, I remember that guy. I was thinking the same thing.
I was trying to save his life.
Are you trying to commit suicide? What's the matter with
you? But I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
To add insult to injury, gentlemen, is that not only were we the victims of the government's goons, but ever since that day, we've been the victims of their so-called court system.
Yes.
You know,
like
January 6th, they've been dragging our people into court and putting our people in prison, but none of those Antifa people, none of those BLM people, none of the real instigators and purveyors of the violence that day have ever
not a one.
Seen the inside of the courtroom.
Not a one of them.
They've never even seen the inside of the police station from being arrested.
Yeah.
But
they went after were the ones that had gone through the legal system and gotten the permits to be there. So, you know, that's telling you, screw the law in this country. The law doesn't mean anything. If you follow the law, you're a chump. You're an idiot. You're a sucker. You know, go out there and riot in the streets. They're the ones that are the heroes. They're the ones that the government's protecting. If you go after conservative people.
Yeah. And here's the, you know, and again, I'm, you know, making another movie reference, but in the movie Shooter with Mark Wahlberg, you know, right there at the end, the corrupt U.S. Senator that was played by Ned Beatty sitting in his luxurious cabin out in the woods, you know, and he's talking about how the Attorney General give you his checks and balances speech and all this other kind of stuff. And he said, you know, and you just looked at him and said, the law is what I say it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the way
that is.
That's the actual mentality of the people that we're up against. If you're foolish enough to allow yourself to be dragged into their legal system for doing something they don't like, you're a fool if you think you're going to get fair treatment. Because all you have to do is ask anybody from Charlottesville who's been dragged into court since then, or anybody from January 6th, ask them how fairly they've been and justly they've been treated by the legal system of the U.S. empire. Their God-given right.
I think you mentioned this last week, Mark, because I always say the complete lawlessness. For instance, Jack Smith, special counsel for the Justice Department, admitted in federal court while he's persecuting Trump. Not that I like Trump, but he admitted he lied in court. He lied to the judge, and it's just going like it's nothing. So with all this lawlessness, Mark and Gene, we see that there is absolutely no law. We're being ruled by a group of criminals. Why don't we just say, like we said, you said last week, we said like several weeks before, we need to just reject the government and say, we do not recognize your authority, federal government. We don't recognize your authority, state government. If we have a communist mayor, screw you. We're not going to use your bogus money. Hell, we're out of time, y'all. I wish I'd have started sooner. I wish I hadn't take up that last couple of minutes. Anyway, y'all, go ahead, Mark.
I'll just say that's exactly what it's going to take. We have to reject the system.
Yes, we do.
Completely reject.
Folks, we're completely out of time. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Bitter Ender, for coming on tonight. Thank y'all, everybody was on the program tonight, for making a great show, making it go great. Folks, next week, God willing, the 12th of August, 6th-year anniversary to the day of Charlottesville. We'll see y'all next week. Thank you again, Mark. Thank you again, Gene. Thank you, Little Lizzie. Thank you, Sister Nancy and Dr. Hill and Rand. Good night, everybody.